Let me give you a little testimony for a moment. It has something to do with my sermon. Yesterday was one of those special days. From time to time, Nathan and our young people get out and they offer to do yard work or work around the house to help folks as a fundraiser as they're getting ready for all their activities. And they did one of those yesterday, and a group came to our house yesterday. Merritt Bergen and a group of youth came to my house. They stayed a couple hours. They did great. Nathan, I'm testifying. They did great. And if you ever need them, you just let Nathan know. When one of those days comes up, we want to be on your list, because I think y'all were at several places yesterday. And that's real, real special. Now, why am I saying that? Because yesterday was one of those days when, after they left from working in my yard, I stayed out and cut the grass. Judith and I went and bought some plants later. She was putting things done and doing things in the yard because it was a beautiful Saturday, and we actually had a chance to be home that day. It was a great time. But I had one problem. And it was kind of an all-day-long kind of problem. Not only were we out in our yard, but all of our neighbors were out as well. We have a great neighborhood. I'm telling you, we live around some really interesting folks that have accomplished a lot of things, are in the middle of doing a lot of things in their lives. But here's the problem. We don't see each other during the winter, because we always visit while we're out in the yard. We'll just kind of stop in the middle of the street, or we'll stop what we're doing, or we just stop and visit. And yesterday, everybody was out, which meant all day long as we were trying to get things done, we were doing a little bit and then stopping to talk to somebody. We were doing a little bit and stopping to talk to somebody else. We were doing a little bit and stopping again to talk, because everybody wanted to catch up. So what's been going on in your life since Thanksgiving? That's basically what we were learning from one another. Because we like to talk to one another. Words are important, aren't they? Words are how you share with one another. Words are how you connect with other people. Words are important things. And we need to never forget that. Steve Chapman tells the story about when he was leaving for college. He'd grown up in a West Virginia coal town, kind of one of those places that's tucked away in the middle of the mountains, and unless you're from there, you don't even know it's there. And that's where he had grown up, and that's where he had spent his life. And it was a really comfortable place to grow up, because everybody knew everybody. And all the kids knew that the grown-ups cared about them. It was a good place to grow up. But now he had graduated from high school, and the fall was coming around, and it was time for him to leave home and go to college. This was really exciting in his family, because he was going to be the first person in his family tree to ever attend college. For generations, his people had grown up in this little town, gone to work in the mines, and spent their lifetime in that one little place. And now here he was, the very first one to go away to school. It was a bittersweet time, because Steve said, as I got ready to go to college, there were two things I knew. One was that my family was really, really proud of me. I was accomplishing something that had never been done before, and everybody was excited. But he said, on the other hand, we all kind of knew without saying that the fact that I was leaving home and going to college meant I would never come home again. Because there was nothing there for someone with that attainment to come and do for a living. So he said, as I got ready to go away, I also understood I was probably going away. The day came for him to board the train that would take him out of the mountains and on to his destiny. And his father insisted on being the only one who carried him to the train station. They got together in the family truck, and they drove, and they got there a little early, and his dad parked in front of the train station. And he said, "Son, before we get out, I want to tell you something." He said, I wish I could give you a lot of money to carry away to school, but you know, we're working class folks. We don't have a lot of money. We just kind of make it from week to week, and so I don't have a lot of money to give you. I don't have a lot of possessions that I can send away with you. But he said, I want you to understand something, son. I'm going to give you something that my father gave to me and his father before him. And it's the most precious thing I have to give you. I have given you a name. Son, you're a chapman. That means something in these parts. When you're a chapman, that means that you keep your word. When you're a chapman, it means you live with integrity. When you're a chapman, it means you have good character. You take care of your family. You look after your neighbors. When you're a chapman, you walk with your God. And I'm sending you away, and I'm sending you away with my name. And I want you to understand this. You're going places I have never been. You're going to experience things I've never seen. And there are going to be times when you're going to have to make decisions. And there are going to be times when you face choices. And there are going to be times when you face temptations. And he said, in those times when you're dealing with difficult issues, this is what I want you to do. I want you to remember whose boy you are. Remember whose boy you are. Steve Chapman said, I boarded that train and I went away to college, and over the years he was very successful. He accomplished a lot in his lifetime. And he said, there were times when I faced hardships, and there were times when I was tempted to compromise for the sake of success, and there were times when I had hard choices to make. But every time I faced one of those decisions, I heard my father's words. Remember whose boy you are. And it would help me to choose to do the right thing. Last week we started looking at the qualities of a biblical blessing. This is going to be going on for the next few weeks as we look at how we can bless our families. And if you were here last week, you know that we remembered that the first quality of a biblical blessing is physical touch. To use appropriate touch to make sure others know that they are loved and protected and valued and precious. Now today I want to move on, and I want us to look together at the second element of a blessing. And that element is what you just heard about. Spoken words. Spoken words. Gary Smalley reminds us that in the Bible, blessings hinge upon a spoken message. If you were going to pass on the blessing, it wasn't enough to just touch someone, to just share a feeling. You wanted to say, here is what I'm blessing you by saying. This is my vision for you. This is my commitment to you. This is my blessing on your life. Abraham spoke a blessing to Isaac. Isaac spoke a blessing to Jacob. Jacob spoke a blessing to each of his 12 sons. And in the passage we read together a few moments ago, Jesus spoke a blessing into the life of Simon Peter. God calls us to speak blessings into the lives of the people we love. You know, you express your love in a lot of ways. If I ask you this morning, how do you let your family know that you love them? How do you let your wife know you love her? How do you let your children know that they are precious? How do you let your husband know that you love him very much? What do you do? And we could think of a lot of ways that we share our love. Through the way we provide, by the example we set, by the gifts we give, we try to say, I love you, but none of those things take the place of spoken words. If you have been given such a blessing, there are words that have been said to you that you have never forgotten. There have been times when somebody who mattered in your life spoke words into you that reminded you that you were special, that God had a plan, that you could depend upon Him, that you were going to accomplish something in this world. And whoever it was and whatever they said, it's burned into your brain. But if you never receive that blessing, there may be a hole in your heart that you can't erase. There are probably people in this room right now who will look back on their lives and they'll say, you know, my parents loved me. I know my parents loved me. I know they did because they were always there for me. I know they did because they provided for me. I know they did because they did so many things. but I can't remember them ever saying, I love you. And because of that, the opportunity for a spoken blessing has been lost. So this morning, I want to talk about speaking words of blessing into the lives of those we love. Speaking words of blessing into someone's life, whether they're newborn or 2 years old or 10 years old or 50 years old. Speaking words of blessing into one another's life, because that's part of what the Bible tells us to do. When the Bible talks about a blessing, always the second element beyond that physical touch is the element of the spoken word. So let's look together. Let's discover what the Bible has to say. And the first thing you need to know is this. The Bible says that words are alive. Words are alive. Once they are spoken, they take on a life of their own. Have you ever said something to somebody and then realized, I said it wrong, I said it harshly, I wish I hadn't expressed myself that way, and you say to them, forget about what I just said. Can it happen? Will it happen? No, because words that are spoken take on a life of their own. I love a story about a rabbi in a Russian village long ago who had one of his members who came to him and he said, I've got a problem. He said, I have a neighbor. My neighbor made me angry. I heard some things about my neighbor and I told lies about him. I told folks all over town a story. I thought it was true, but I found out later it wasn't, and it's really hurt him. What can I do to take those words back again? And the rabbi took a feather pillow and he walked outside and he took a knife and he ripped the pillow and he scattered the feathers to the wind. And he said, now, if you want to make things right, pick up all of those feathers and put them back in the pillow. But that's impossible. They've gone everywhere. I'll never find all of them. I can't do that. And he said, neither can you take back the hurtful things you've said. Why? Because words are alive. No wonder that every step of creation in Genesis 1 begins in exactly the same way. It says, and God said. God didn't just create the world. God spoke the universe into creation. God spoke this world into existence. God said, let there be, let there be, let there be. And when it was done, the Bible says, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from his work which God had made. He blessed it. God spoke, God blessed. No wonder the Gospel of John describes the coming of Jesus by saying, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John called Jesus the Word, the spoken Word of God, God expressing himself into humanity. God said. And then he spoke the blessing of God into our lives, because the Bible says the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No wonder God spoke at the beginning. No wonder God spoke through Jesus. And no wonder at the conclusion of Scripture, when all of creation has reached its ultimate conclusion and everything has been finished, and heaven has been gifted, we hear spoken words of invitation and blessing. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take the waters of life freely. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, from beginning to end, the testimony of Scripture is that words are alive. They actively change things when they are spoken. Things are said and things are different. Words are said and life changes. Jesus said to Simon, you are Petros. You are. Not you will be, not someday you might be. You are Petros. And as he said it, he was actively speaking that identity into Simon's life. He was saying, Simon, I look at you and I see Peter, the rock. That's who you are. I'm looking at you and that's exactly what I see. And because of that, things changed. Everybody here today maybe is... Everybody here today has had a similar experience when encouraging words that have been said to you have helped you make who you are today. In the town that I lived in before I came here, in Haleyville, there's a man who is a legend in that town. His name was Boyce Albright. Boyce was the superintendent of education for years and years and years, but that's not what he's remembered for. Almost always, if I would ask a question of a group, who's one of the most influential people who's ever touched your life, I would hear Boyce Albright. And then I would ask, why? And you know what people would say? Without exception, because when something significant happened in my life, I got a letter, a handwritten letter from Boyce, blessing me, congratulating me, saying, I always knew you could do it. I always recognized that would make the difference. And you know what else they would all say? And I never threw that letter away. James, you got some Boyce Albright letters at home? Bob, did you get one? Is that a little ahead of you? Yeah. Words change things. You remember words that are spoken by parents or teachers or wife or husband, something that changed the way you see yourself. And some of those words are the ones that you go to from time to time when you're up against the wall, when you're facing difficulties and hardship and you're not sure you're going to make it through. You remember what somebody said to you a long time ago and you never let it go. And if somebody's done that for you, then you have the responsibility to do it for others. To speak those words of blessing into their lives. Because those kinds of words are like water in the desert. If you're going to give a blessing, you need to remember words are living things and they must be handled carefully. Be careful what you say. Why is that? Because words have impact. There are a lot of stupid things we've been told in our lives. One of the stupidest things you've ever been told is this: sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, what? Can never hurt me. How stupid. Long after you remember the last schoolyard fight you had, or the last time you got into conflict on a sporting field, you remember those words that were said. Words have power, power for evil and power for good. Words can build up, words can tear down. One of the greatest gifts you've been given is the gift of speaking words into the lives of the people you love, but you have to use them carefully. The Bible says that our words have power to bless and power to curse. Romans 12:14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. What is it saying? It's saying you have that power. It lies within you. You have the power to bless. You have the power to curse. Too often, we think of cursing as just using swear words. Oh, yeah, I heard somebody cursing. I heard the language that they used. Or we think of a curse as some kind of incantation. You know, like you take a voodoo doll and you stick pins in it and you put a curse on somebody. That is not what the Bible talks about. The biblical concept of a curse is using words to bring about evil in another person's life. Using your words to bring about hurtful things in somebody else's life. Sometimes it's done deliberately. You use words in a way that you intend to hurt, to cut, to tear. Sometimes you say it right to somebody's face. Sometimes it's because you embarrass somebody in front of a crowd of people. And these days, we're seeing too much of this power to curse in the way that people can use social media, where you can be anonymous or you can be far away and you can say things about other people that tear them apart and break them down and sometimes bring about the worst of consequences. Why? Because words have the power to curse other people. But sometimes it's done thoughtlessly. A parent says to a child, "Can't you do anything right?" A man says to his wife, "You know, you're not a spring chicken anymore." A wife says to her husband, "And I am always disappointed in you." When words are used to wound, they carry a curse. They can damage someone for a lifetime. You can make them believe something about themselves that will limit their ability to live a full, rich life. Now, parents, hear me carefully at this point. Parents with children. Because there's one thing that's true about your children, and it is this: whatever you tell them about themselves, they believe uncritically. They don't have any way to filter and decide whether that's true. So if you begin to say to your child, "You're a dummy, you're a fatty, you disappoint me, I'm tired of you," they don't have any way to filter that out. Be very, very careful. When words are used to wound, they carry a curse. Thankfully, the Bible also says our words have great power to bless. You don't have to worry about how am I hurting people. What you need to do is decide, so what am I going to do to bless other people? Words of blessing are words that are used to give great value and meaning to somebody else. You know, you can always tell when you've used words that bless. You know how? Because when somebody walks away from you, there's a smile on their face. They're glad they saw you. They're glad you took time to talk to them. They're glad you recognized who they were and built up something special about them. Words of blessing are words that we can use to make people into something they never thought they could be. That's what Jesus was doing for Peter. He was blessing him by speaking a whole new identity into his life. You were Simon, but now you're Peter. We hunger for words of blessing. A recent survey discovered the most memorized scripture in the Bible is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Now, that's not surprising, is it? Because everybody would assume that's the most memorized scripture. Wouldn't you think that, Bible drill girls? Most memorized scripture of all. Would you like to know what the second most memorized scripture is? It's Philippians 4:13. Now, who can tell me what that says? "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's the second most memorized scripture in the verse. Third most memorized scripture, according to the survey, Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. Who can tell me what that says? Good. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Isn't it interesting that according to this survey, those are the three most memorized scriptures? God so loved the world, I can do all things through Christ. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. What does that tell you? That says we are hungry for words of blessing in our lives. We are hungry for words that say not only that God is there, but God cares. Not only that God cares, but God is actively at work doing good things in our lives. We are drawn toward words of blessing. Everybody is. We are drawn toward people who build us up and not people who tear us down. God calls us to speak words of blessing into our home. Sometimes you speak those words of blessing in very intentional ways. At a wedding, there's always a rehearsal dinner, and at the end, there's that time where fathers stand and they speak words of blessing into their children during a significant time in their lives. Sometimes you speak words of blessing at a time of graduation, high school or college, when something really special has been accomplished. There are times when we just know this is one of those moments, this is one of those times when I need to stop and speak words of encouragement. Way to go, attaboy, knew you could do it. First job, first child, big accomplishment. Good time to speak into people's lives, and we need to take advantage of all of those moments. But sometimes the most important words of blessing come in the everyday moments of life. Not because it's a big event, not because anybody else is listening. They're just the words that come out, and they're just the way they need to be heard, just the right time, just when you need them most. My wife says to me from time to time, I have the best husband in the world. Now, we know that's not true. I'm probably third or fourth. But you know what? And she'll say that to me, and usually I go, wah, 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 wah. But I heard what she said. Words of blessing that are spoken into our lives. You stop and look at a picture that your child has drawn, and they're so proud of it. And you really take time to look and say, that is great. I don't think I've ever seen a butterfly that was quite that pretty. When you pay more attention to a good report card than to a bad one. And you take time to say, I knew you could do it. I always believed in you. Way to go. When you tell your wife how attractive she is as you walk out the door together and you've been married for a long time. When you remember to thank your parents for something they've done for you instead of rushing out the door. Judith and I have some special friends. We always love to be around them. Johnny and Karen, we were newlyweds together at the same time at one point, and they are special people in our lives for a lot of ways. In fact, for a long time, the husband was the person we had set apart in our will to take care of our kids' affairs if something happened to the two of us. Love to be around them. But especially for one reason, because if you're ever around our friend Karen, at some point she's going to say to her husband or to her son or to her friends or to somebody, you are precious. And she means it. She means it. You are precious. You'll do a lot of things to earn a precious when you're around her. Words have power. Now, here's the secret. You choose what you do with your words. It is completely your decision how you speak to the people around you. It is absolutely up to you. How will I use my words? Will I use my words to curse? Will I use my words in a neutral way? Or am I willing to use my words to bless other people? You can't choose your circumstances, but you can choose what you do and what you say. And when you choose to bless, you choose to transform someone's life. That's what Jesus did in the life of Simon Peter. For a lot of years, Simon had a really bad reputation. And he lived up to it in a lot of ways. He was blustery, he was boastful, he was impulsive, he was hard-headed, he was unreliable, he was always saying more than he was ever going to accomplish. If you had asked, name the leader of this group of disciples, a lot of those fellows would have said, man, I wouldn't put Simon in charge of a picnic, much less a group like this. Until Jesus said to him, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. With those words, with that blessing, Jesus transformed Simon's life. He called him Peter, the rock, steadfast, strong, immovable. He gave him a purpose. I will build my church. He gave him strength, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Simon, I'm going to tell you something. You're not Simon anymore. You're Peter. And if Simon was unreliable, and if Simon was wishy-washy, and if Simon overpromised, I want you to understand something. You're the one I've chosen. You're going to lead. You're going to be the one that makes everybody depend upon you, and you're not going to let me down. I'm going to build a church on top of you, Simon Peter. From that day on, Peter was a changed man. And he would still have his ups and downs. There would still be times when he would rise and he would fall. He would make his share of mistakes. But over the years, he lived up to the name that Jesus had given him. He lived with boldness. He led with faith. He became the one that the church could depend upon in those early years. Simon was the key. And Jesus turned him into that key. If you ask Simon what it was like to be called Peter that very first time, he would say to you, after that day, my life was never the same. After Jesus spoke that name into my life, I was a brand new man. Because that's what Jesus does. And he calls you to do the same thing, to speak a blessing into the lives of the people you love. And the greatest blessing of all, to speak the gospel into their lives, to let them know they are precious in his sight, to let them know there is saving power in Christ Jesus, to let them know there's a chance for a new beginning, and it's found in Christ. We speak a blessing into one another's lives. We build one another up. We encourage one another. We show them God has a plan for their lives. And most of all, we introduce them to Jesus. And when that happens, they will never be the same. Words. Words have power. Words change things. Words can curse, but words can bless. You get to choose. What am I going to do with my words? Choose to be a blessing. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You need to know that Jesus really loves you. That he really died for you and he rose again for you so that you could have everlasting life. That everything about John 3:16 is absolutely true. You need to know that God does have a plan for you. Plans are for good and not for you, for evil, to give you a future and a hope. All you got to do is trust him. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian, and that's what you need more than anything in the world, just to trust Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and I'm going to be here at the front, and so is Rich. And if you want to come up this aisle and simply say to us, today's the day I want to come to know Jesus, we'll be glad to help you. Or maybe you're here today and you're realizing God is calling me to be a part of First Baptist Church. Not just because these are nice people and not just because this is great music and not just because I've heard a message, but because God's calling me here. And I want to be a part of what he's doing in my life. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. When we stand and sing, if God's dealing with you, if his Holy Spirit's working, you can come here. You may need to use the altar. You can do anything you want to. You just come and let him bless you. Let's stand together. Let's sing.